Hey everybody, today on the Charlie Kirk Show, a very compelling and shocking new study. It's not anything that we haven't been mentioning here before, but I encourage you to send this episode to every single friend, every person you know that has exhibited fear of the virus and ask them, did you know this? Did you know that there's over 100 studies that now show that vitamin D very well might be the most important component to whether or not you will be able to successfully navigate getting the Fauci Chinese coronavirus? It's a very important study and an important episode of the show of a shocking new article from Daniel Horowitz. Send this episode to your friends and just ask them like, hey, we might not agree on anything, but this is science, isn't it? Why aren't our public health officials talking about it? We also have a conversation in the middle of the episode with Carter Sneed, and all of your questions will be answered about the Supreme Court and Roe versus Wade. For all of our pro-lifers out there, I'm one of them. I think you'll really enjoy his update. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. I get all the emails. I read them all. I do not respond to them all, but I do read them all. freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win the American culture war, go to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. If you want to come to America Fest, go to tpusa.com/AMFEST. We have some of the biggest speakers in the entire country coming. We have Tucker Carlson coming, Candace Owens, Kayleigh McEnany. We have Greg Gutfeld, Ted Cruz, Jesse Waters, Jim Jordan, Donald Trump Jr., Pete Hegseth, Madison Cawthorn, Kimberly Guilfoyle, Rand Paul, Jack Posobiec, Benny Johnson, Kat Kamick, Lauren Boebert, Matt Gaetz, Louis Gohmert, Burgess Owens, Sean Foyt, Sarah Palin, Brandon Tatum, Michael Chandler, Steve Weatherford, Cameron Haynes, Jimmy John Leopold, Congressman Andy Biggs, Congressman Byron Donalds, Devin Nunez, Chad Wright, John Lovell, Ryan Kleckner, James O'Keefe, and Pastor Jack Hibbs. Full musical concerts by Brantley Gilbert, Dustin Lynch, Russell Dickerson, Adam Doliak, Ray Lynn, Lee Greenwood, and DJ Silver. tpusa.com/AMFEST, December 18, 19, 20, 21. It's only a couple weeks away, everybody. Get your tickets right now. We'll see you in Phoenix, Arizona. If you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. If you want to support our doing two podcasts a day, one on Saturday, one on Sunday, the hardest working podcast team out there, it's charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank Janet from California for your support. Thank you. Angela from Alabama. Thank you. Tammy from California. Thank you. Anthony from North Carolina. Thank you. Rebecca from California. Tanya from California. Thank you. Trip from Florida. Lori from Arizona. Thomas from Florida. Jennifer from California. I also want to thank Michaela from Illinois and Juliana from Montana. charliekirk.com/support. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. The episode that will make you think completely differently about the virus, if you haven't yet been aware of this, send this episode to your friends and at the very least, share the article that we have posted at charliekirk.com all about it. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. So if I were to ask you, what are the most important numbers in your life? Things that you can measure objectively. You might say your credit score. You might say your net worth. You might say how much money you have in your bank account. You might say your stock portfolio. If I were to ask you what numbers are ones that you track and that you try to improve, there would be a whole variety of numbers that you would offer. But what if I told you that a new study has come out that is getting no coverage from the activist press of a number that very well might be able to predict your ability to handle and survive a case of the Fauci virus. No, I'm not talking about your credit score. I'm not even talking about your vaccination status. I'm talking about your vitamin D levels. A new shocking article by my friend and just a brilliant, brilliant thinker, Daniel Horowitz. Studies show an aggressive vitamin D campaign could have prevented nearly all COVID deaths. Now, I was a little skeptical before I read this. I was skeptical because I said, boy, you're trying to tell me that an aggressive vitamin D campaign could have prevented all COVID deaths? I'm going to read this article almost verbatim and go through it. But before I do, I've heard this anecdotally from ER doctors, from nurses in the emergency room. I say, what is the one thing that every single person who dies from the Fauci virus have in common? They say, oh, they're vitamin D deficient. They say it without even any hesitation. I was recently getting a vitamin C infusion. I try to do that every so often and just to try to keep with good health. And I'm a big believer in IV treatment. And I think that you guys should check it out as well. And the people who administer the IVs for this particular clinic, they also work in the emergency room. And I asked them, I say, is it standard protocol in the emergency room in Arizona to administer a vitamin D booster shot as soon as someone who is COVID positive comes in? They say, no, we don't even have vitamin D at the hospital. Now, I've heard at some hospitals they are doing this, but at least in Banner and some of these other places in Phoenix, Arizona, they are not doing this, which is stunning. You look at the numbers and you go through these studies. The most important number that you should be tracking is what is your vitamin D level? Not what is your credit score, not your vaccination status. Daniel Horowitz writes, what if we could have simply advised everyone last March when the pandemic began to supplement your treatment with vitamin D? An endless stream of academic research demonstrates that not only would such an approach have worked better than most vaccines, but rather than coming with the sundry known and unknown side effects, it would have induced immeasurable positive side effects in the population for an array of other health concerns. Most doctors will not even tell you that your vitamin D levels are low. Do you know you can get that tested? In fact, there is a spectrum on whether you have a high vitamin D level and a low vitamin D level. We'll tell you about that in a second. According to a breaking new German study, the difference between a level of 18 and 1 over 50, so that's the spectrum of how you measure vitamin D levels, is one between life and death. Here's a question that you should ask your COVID, let's just say, obsessed friends. This is a question you should ask your doctor. Why is it that you've never mentioned vitamin D? Maybe they have. Maybe you're taking vitamin D supplements. Maybe you are getting injections of vitamin D. And by the way, you cannot get IV treatment for vitamin D. It's fat soluble, so you have to have it, injected is the right word. You have to have it put in as a shot. Why has this education been totally suppressed to the entire public, especially now that we're in the midst of winter season, when there's essentially no natural vitamin D from sunlight for anyone above the 37th parallel, Daniel Horowitz writes. Studies are showing that there's 142 studies. It's 142 academic studies vouching for the near perfect correlation between higher vitamin D levels and better outcomes in COVID patients. It is likely that the area of COVID-19 treatment research that has the most data behind it. And I'm going to explain later in this article, Daniel Horowitz will, and I'll build it out, why this is logical. Because when people actually die from COVID, the body is basically pleading for vitamin D assistance. Not only did German researchers find a linear relationship between vitamin D levels and mortality rates from COVID, they found an essentially zero morbidity from those with a D level above 50 ng per milliliter. And so for those of you that are worried about COVID, or for those of you that might have family members that are worried about COVID, they might be vaccinated and they're seeing double vaccinated people like Dana White and LeBron James get infected. The thing that you should be telling them is, what's your vitamin D level? Get it tested. Vitamin D is abundant in two ways. You can go outside if you live in Arizona, New Mexico, parts of the Sun Belt, or Florida. Or obviously, you can get vitamin D at your local Walgreens or CVS. It's cheap. Maybe that's why we're not hearing about it. The reason this study is so important is that relative to dozens of other tracking D levels with COVID outcomes is because it's measured the levels before the patients got COVID as well after the infection onset. Quote, in most studies, the vitamin D level was determined several days after the onset of infection. Therefore, a low vitamin D level may be the result and not the trigger of the course of infection. This study followed 1,601 hospitalized patients, 784 who had their vitamin D levels measured within a day after admission, and 817 whose vitamin D levels were known before infection. They observed the median vitamin D level over all the studied cohorts was 23.2 ng per milliliters, which is considered to be vitamin D insufficient. The results were remarkable, Daniel Horowitz writes. At a threshold of 30 ng per milliliter, mortality decreased considerably, found the authors. Quote, the scientific researchers, by the way, the CDC, Fauci, Francis Collins, NIH, with Omicron here, why aren't they mentioning this study? 142 studies that show this. Quote, at a threshold of 30 ng per milliliter, the mortality decreased considerably. It's amazing. Continues by saying, based on these findings, they conclude that people should test their blood levels and supplement to get their levels over 50. Studies have already shown that this is an amazing number. You could put this number in, if you get fact checked by social media, it's verifiable. Do you know that someone is 14 times more likely to die from COVID with a vitamin D deficiency? The reality is this, is that most people's levels are below 30. In fact, many are closer to zero, especially amongst the elderly population. Instead of a mass vaccination campaign, why didn't we have a mass vitamin D supplement campaign? If you have not heard about this vitamin D story, you need to take a pause and say, why haven't you heard this? It's a near direct correlation between low vitamin D levels and not being able to survive COVID. Why are public health officials not telling you the truth? You type in vitamin D to Google, almost no stories at all telling people to boost their vitamin D levels. Incredible. But everyone, go get vaccinated, even though the vaccinated are getting infected and the vaccine is waning in efficacy, not to mention all the other associated risks with it. What's so interesting is the very same people that want to power the entire world through solar energy and they look to the sun to be able to power everything, they very well could have said, yeah, the sun could actually help us fight COVID. Now, in order to get the necessary vitamin D levels from the sun, you need 20 to 30 good minutes of sunbathing a day. It's not just going for a stroll, but it helps. And by the way, that's why you have to measure your vitamin D levels. Most people do not know their vitamin D levels. I bet less than half of 1% of the American population could say their vitamin D levels. But I guarantee you that most Americans could tell you how many Instagram followers they have, their credit score, I hope so. They could tell you the recent score of the Tampa Bay game. But vitamin D level, the thing that actually could determine their life, most people don't even know about it. Isn't that an amazing disservice by our public health officials? Of course it is. This right here is the most simple and, I think, effective issue of cross-examination against our public health officials. Why have you not been doing a massive public awareness campaign to raise vitamin D levels? By the way, it's not just COVID that higher vitamin D levels can work against. I guess that wasn't worded perfectly, meaning that higher vitamin D levels help with a variety of health issues. Now, someone just emailed us, Charlie, can you take pills for vitamin D? Of course you can. You could take them as supplements. The problem with supplements, though, is that when it goes through your digestive tract, is that you're not going to get 100% of the actual vitamin to absorb. And so this is why IV treatment is so effective, but you cannot take vitamin D via IV treatment because it's fat soluble. You could take vitamin C via IV treatment. You could take magnesium. You could take glutathione. You could take amino acids. But vitamin D has to be administered via a shot. And so maybe if you have such low vitamin D levels, if you're in the elderly population or if you have underlying health conditions and you were promised a lot of things with the vaccine and you're worried, I'm not one to give you health advice, but a higher vitamin D level certainly won't hurt. 100+ studies show that the main cause of death, and this is important, so I want to just reiterate this for those of you guys tuning in. 142 studies have now come out vouching for the near perfect correlation between high vitamin D levels and better outcomes in COVID-19 patients. I've heard this anecdotally. Now there's 142 studies reinforcing this, and yet the CDC and the NIH says nothing about this. But here's why it actually works. The main cause of death from COVID stems from, you've probably heard this on television, it's called a cytokine storm, where the body's immune system releases too many toxic cytokines as part of the inflammatory response to the virus. Vitamin D happens to be the key regulator of those cells. So the cause of death from COVID is the body actually attacking itself as part of an inflammatory response. That is why aspirin has been showing to be effective against hospitalization. That's why Regeneron helps. This is why steroid treatment can be helpful. And by the way, the treatment that they do want to push is one that actually can be catastrophic to you and your liver, such as remdesivir. We'll get to that later, which I've heard horror stories about remdesivir. And so, if the body has higher levels of vitamin D, then that kind of storm actually is able to be thwarted. Daniel Horowitz writes, quote, "We've had 20 months to get our levels over 50 and certainly over at least 30. He personally says, quote, "I have had my levels increased by approximately 50 NGS per milliliter in about half a year. Had the public been doing this at the same time, most deaths could have been avoided. Those with absorption problems could have been given the active form of D through a shot to raise their levels, bypassing the liver's metabolic process very carefully. Studies have shown that almost anyone hospitalized with low levels but given the active form of D did not progress to the ICU afterwards." Do you know in Arizona they do not give vitamin D booster shots, at least from the ER doctors I've talked to? Yet the studies show, quote, "Studies have shown almost anyone hospitalized with low levels, but given the active form of D, did not progress to the ICU after." Why isn't that part of the regimen for every COVID patient in the country? Did you know that if you shop at Nike, they turn around and give your hard-earned dollars to pro-abortion groups like Planned Parenthood and the Population Council? Did you know that Airbnb gave $500,000 to the Marxist Black Lives Matter organization? Your first vote is at the ballot box, but that isn't enough to defend our traditional Judeo-Christian values. Left-wing corporations are subverting our democracy by taking money from conservative customers and giving it to radical organizations that support abortion, gun control, and critical race theory. You have another vote, a second vote, at the checkout line, and that is where massively important organizations called Second Vote come in. The courageous people at Second Vote are exposing corporations for how they spend your money. Check out secondvote.com today. Second Vote is developing incredible tools and engaging the smartest minds in the country to help inform Americans' purchasing decisions. What if I told you Chick-fil-A is not all that you might think it is? Well, their work is arduous, complex, and exhaustive. It doesn't happen for free. Please support their work so we can defend our future from the woke Marxist mob. So here's what I want you to do. Go right now to secondvote.com and subscribe. It's just $50 a year. But if you use promo code Charlie, you get 50% off. It's literally $2 a month, everybody. And you get 50% off the information you need to have before you make your next purchase. Do not buy products from people that hate you. Don't buy products from people that are funding the downfall of America. Join me. Go to secondvote.com and subscribe with promo code Charlie today. I am going to finish on the vitamin D story because it's just so important. And I just want to say the obvious that, yes, you can take too much vitamin D and you can have an adverse reaction to that. So do your research and hopefully find a medical professional that actually believes in science, not one that just believes in what they're told. And the proper dosage of vitamin D and as a supplement can be very, very helpful. Someone just asked, "Hey, Charlie, what study are you reading from about the low vitamin D levels?" It is Daniel Horowitz from theblaze.com, and we'll also repost it at charliekirk.com. That's right. We will repost his article at charliekirk.com. But generally people's vitamin D levels are far too low and you should have it tested. You should manage it. You should try to get those levels up. You could do it in a variety of different ways. And definitely if you have someone that has contracted COVID, it will not hurt to get a vitamin D shot if managed correctly and balanced. Yes, you can have an excess of vitamin D and you can have an adverse reaction to that. I do want to make sure I mention that. Because unlike our health officials, I don't want to lie to you. Okay, we've been getting a ton of emails, freedom@charliekirk.com, about the Supreme Court and what happened there. And there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of people thinking that Roe versus Wade is going to be completely wiped out. The other side is totally freaking out about this. A lot of it is still speculation, but I wanted to bring on an expert that could help us navigate this. Very smart person who has a great video that just came out about this issue, and he'll be able to kind of walk us through what happened yesterday and the legal implications alongside of it. It's Professor Carter Sneed from University of Notre Dame, and I think they're going to have a new football coach soon. But Professor Sneed, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me on. I appreciate it.
So Professor Sneed, walk us through what happened yesterday. What were the oral arguments? What did we learn? And what are the implications surrounding this case that came from Mississippi?
So Mississippi, as your listeners probably know, passed a law a while ago that bans abortion after 15 weeks gestation. They had different reasons for doing that, some of which related to concerns about fetal pain. But a 15-week ban is a ban prior to fetal viability, which is defined as the capacity of the baby to live outside her mother's body. It's a respiratory status, basically. Are your lungs sufficiently developed to live outside your mom's body? That's around 22 weeks. And so the reason I mention that is because the dominating appellate decision of the Supreme Court, which fixes abortion law in America, is a case called Planned Parenthood versus Casey. It purports to be interpreting Roe v. Wade. And in that opinion, the Supreme Court said no bans prior to viability are constitutional. What they said is prior to viability, the state may not unduly burden a woman's right to abortion. And after viability, states can regulate abortion. But for various reasons, the way the court has interpreted health of the mother and a health exception that has to attach to any restriction on abortion, we basically have abortion on request, both pre and post viability, making us one of the most extreme countries in the world. In terms of our abortion law, in terms of its permissiveness. And as actually yesterday, Chief Justice Roberts observed, it puts us in the company of China and North Korea in terms of how permissive we are in allowing abortion. And then if that weren't problematic enough, that policy was imposed on the United States by the Supreme Court in 1973 and then again in 1992. Under a very specious reading of the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment, they say the 14th Amendment, which guarantees, among other things, that the state must provide you with due process prior to its depriving you of life, liberty, or property, that procedural safeguard means that there's a right to abortion. And that's a very aggressive and I think reading of the Constitution. It's not connected to the text, history, or tradition of the Constitution. In 1868, when the 14th Amendment was ratified, abortion was banned everywhere. No one thought that the Due Process Clause precluded states from protecting unborn children, really up until 1973, when the court announced that very novel and surprising decision in Roe v. Wade. So because the Mississippi law directly conflicts with the Supreme Court's sort of invented law of abortion, it set up a conflict. It set up a conflict that the justices agreed to resolve. And in when you apply for a Supreme Court review, it's called a petition for certiorari, and you, as a party, file in the court to take your case. That's what Mississippi did. There was many, many delays before the court finally acted on that petition. But when they did, they granted cert. They agreed to answer one question. And the one question they agreed to answer is whether all pre-viability bans on abortion are unconstitutional. And if you read Casey and Roe, the answer is yes, they are unconstitutional. So simply by virtue of granting cert in this case, it gave a great deal, I think, of optimism to people who care about the lives of unborn children and their mothers and caring for all of them rightly short of abortion, who believe that abortion is the unjust killing of innocent human beings. It gave a lot of us optimism that the court was, for the first time since 1992, considering whether or not the law of abortion in America should be undone, reversed, or sustained. And it's a kind of a binary choice here. And we saw that very dramatically in yesterday's oral arguments. Both sides, Mississippi, ably represented by their Solicitor General, Scott Stewart, and Jackson Women's Health Center, which is an abortion clinic. I think it's the only abortion clinic in Mississippi, represented by a lawyer from the Center for Reproductive Rights in New York City. And then our Solicitor General, Elizabeth Prelogar, representing the U.S., the Biden administration and the Justice Department, argued in favor of the abortion clinic's position. But all of the parties, even though they disagreed on the constitutionality of Mississippi's law, they all agreed that the court had two choices here and only two choices. One was to affirm Roe and Casey and the unjust and unconstitutional apparatus of abortion that, that the Supreme Court created in 1973, or dismantle that in its entirety and affirm the 15-week ban. There's no middle position. You can't affirm the 15-week ban without dismantling the entire apparatus of abortion if you want to do so in an intellectually coherent way, in a way that is actually consistent with what the opinions in Roe and Casey actually said.
So that's very helpful. Thank you. I think where some people are confused, and you did a great job of navigating that, and I think Kavanaugh clarified it yesterday by saying that the Constitution is silent on the issue of abortion, which I don't agree with, but that's a separate issue. I think that the Constitution as a social contract defends the natural rights of all beings, both unborn and born, but that's a separate issue for a different time. But at the very least, Kavanaugh was beginning to make an argument that the states should be able to determine their own abortion laws. And if I remember correctly, Planned Parenthood v. Casey, that was Justice Kennedy's very bizarre, like, open interpretation of existence opinion. If I'm remembering correctly, he says existence is what you want it to be. It was like this really strange, meandering opinion. Can you talk about how you think the court is actually going to rule?
Yeah. So as you say, Justice Kennedy said, again, the whole question is, does the 14th Amendment provide a right to abortion? That's the first question. Then the second question is, even if it doesn't, and Roe and Casey are wrong, should they be overturned in light of what we lawyers call the doctrine of stare decisis, which is a kind of prudential doctrine that invites but doesn't require judges and justices to think about the practical consequences of undoing prior wrongly decided precedent. And that's mostly what the justices talked about yesterday. They didn't really talk about whether or not Roe was decided rightly as a matter of first impression. There was some discussion of that on the abortion rights advocate side, but mostly they focused on stare decisis because it's a very rare. And I think the six justices who were appointed by Republican presidents, I think every single one of them, based on their publicly available statements and their jurisprudence, I think they all understand that Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey are untethered to the Constitution. They're not fair interpretations of the 14th Amendment. And if the case came as a matter of first impression, you would be sure that they would all say, no, that's crazy. The Constitution doesn't, the 14th Amendment, 1868, ratified when abortion was banned everywhere, doesn't create a right to abortion, which is also illegal at common law, by the way, stretching back even before the American founding. They would say no, but what they focused on is, okay, let's assume for the sake of argument these were wrongly decided. Should we disturb those cases and overturn them because they've proven to be unworkable, because they would be too unduly disruptive to people's settled interests to do that? And that's mostly what the conversation circled on and focused on yesterday. And yesterday was important because we saw for the very first time in the voices of the justices kind of where their heads are on this, what they're thinking about it. And a lot of people were wondering, will they try to craft some kind of middle pathway where they say the 15-week ban's okay, but we're still going to say there's a right to abortion and we'll tell you later exactly how that works. I think there were no takers for that position yesterday, except for perhaps Chief Justice Roberts, who, again, didn't commit himself to that. He was just sort of musing about what might be possible. And he said, well, is it possible to disentangle viability from the undue burden standard? And what would that look like? Everybody, the lawyers and it seemed the other justices said, that doesn't work. So I don't think there certainly won't be in my prediction, for whatever it's worth, is, you know, you get what you pay for. You're not paying for this prediction. You get what you pay for. But my prediction is that Roe v. Wade and Casey will be overturned in their entirety, and the matter will be returned to the elected branches of government to settle through the democratic process. And Justice Kavanaugh His comments, I think, are the most important comments of the day yesterday, because mm-hmm. they were a window into his thinking. And he said to both sides, as he frequently does, he likes to be diplomatic and likes to be conciliatory. And he said, well, there are important issues on both sides here, but it's an unsolvable problem. And the Constitution is scrupulously silent. He was characterizing the views of the Mississippi, but it seemed like it was consistent with his own views and things that he's written in the past. The Constitution is silent on the question of abortion. It's scrupulously neutral. And shouldn't the court also be scrupulously neutral and allow this very difficult conflict of incommensurable goods, the goods of women's freedom on the one hand, and the goods of the lives of unborn children on the other? Shouldn't that be something to be resolved through the political process? And that was really, I think, the most insightful things he said vis-a-vis his own thinking. I think I would be shocked. Who knows? Anything's possible, right? But I would be shocked if Justice Kavanaugh were not leaning very heavily in the direction of overturning Roe and Casey in their entirety. And if you want a straight up prediction, I think that's what's going to happen. I think it's going to be 6-3. I think Chief Justice Roberts will join the five in overturning Roe and Casey in its entirety.
Well, Professor, I want to have you back on and explain this further. I wish we had more time. That was so thoughtful. And it's not always we get to have college professors on this show. So that always that actually gets me excited. They have a tendency not to like me. But really respect your views on this. And I just want to say you're the director of the DeNicola Center for Ethics and Culture at the wonderful Notre Dame University, law professor, Dr. Sneed. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll have you back again soon to kind of unpack this. Thank you so much. Deeply appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Look, everyone out there has been asking me, Charlie, how do I get more pillows? Well, that's MyPillow.com. And MyPillow doesn't have their box stores anymore, so we got to help them out. And part of them being canceled, they want to give you the lowest price yet. So you can get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard MyPillow regularly, $69.98. Now only $19.98 with the promo code. They also have queen size, regularly $79.98, and $24.98 with a promo code. Or king size, usually $89.98, only $29.98 with your promo code. MyPillow is not just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to new beds. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-875-0425 and use promo code Kirk to take advantage of Mike's special offer on his standard MyPillow. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, or call 800-875-0425. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. I want to close out by finishing the story by Daniel Horowitz again on the vitamin D thing. For those of you that missed the earlier portion of the program or you've been skimming through and doing more important things, 142 studies are vouching for the near perfect correlation between higher vitamin D levels and better outcomes in COVID patients. To finish the argument, a new study from Turkish researchers have found that a rapid regimen of regular vitamin D3 with the aim of getting people's levels well over 30 was wildly successful compared to people without supplementation. They found that those who used treatment protocol to get their levels over 30, even if they had comorbidities, were much better off of those without comorbidities who didn't supplement, Daniel Horowitz writes. 23 published studies, in addition to the 142, contain 11,901 participants who found that one who is vitamin D deficient was 3.3 times more likely to get infected than one who isn't. So if you don't want to get infected, why aren't you hearing a nonstop propaganda campaign around vitamin D? Daniel Horowitz finishes by saying, why would we not try an approach that comes with a positive rather than negative side effects for our society as a whole? And I've already told you that, yes, you can take too much vitamin D. You can have an adverse event. It takes a lot of vitamin D to get to that level. But that's a necessary warning for those of you that might be sprinting to the store. For those of you WABC on the dial in New York City that might be hearing this, and you just take an exit off the Brooklyn Bridge, like, that's it. I'm going to Walgreens. I'm going to go raid the vitamin D aisle. Okay, just do your research. I'm telling you something you need to be aware of. The studies show that higher vitamin D levels equip you against infection and serious adverse events when it comes to getting COVID. But it all comes down to the very same thing that is dominating our entire society. If we would have had robust vitamin D regimens, we might have not have had vote by mail. If we had vitamin D that was generously distributed, or a campaign of educating people about vitamin D instead of vaccine commercials every single time you turned on television, we might not have had the Georgia Senate seats flip, which were obviously a byproduct of mass mail-in voting. We wouldn't have had Zuckerberg and Bezos be worth over $100 billion. What I'm saying is, potentially, if we would have had a aggressive vitamin D campaign, if America would have just started to take vitamin D and do it so responsibly and would have done with prudence and would have done in the best benefit of their health, all the other profits from BioNTech, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, and power, Raphael Warnock, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and Joe Biden, might never have happened. If you have loved ones that have come down with COVID, I urge you to please look at this research study from Daniel Horowitz. Why aren't our hospitals requiring vitamin D boosters for COVID-positive patients that come into the hospital? Why isn't the CDC talking about that? Why don't I hear any elected officials grandstanding about low vitamin D levels? I already did a whole podcast before on the obesity problem in our country. I'm not going to do that again. I got plenty of angry emails about that, but it's just true that the clinically obese are having a more difficult time surviving COVID. It's not intended to offend anyone. It's just the truth. Some people say that taking vitamin K alongside vitamin D can help with the absorption of it. Again, do your research on this. The point is this, that this would have been a cheap and possibly effective, widespread way to empower you and not keep you masked, locked down, your children controlled. And also, if vitamin D would have all of a sudden worked, then the vaccine manufacturers might not have made a lot of money. Pfizer, BioNTech, AstraZeneca, Moderna, they wouldn't have hit their profit margins. It really comes down to the question is, does our government want us to be sick? Why wouldn't they tell us about this? Well, now you know. We're going to post it at charliekirk.com. Daniel Horowitz. Studies show an aggressive vitamin D campaign could have prevented nearly all COVID deaths. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. Get involved with America Fest. It's tpusa.com/AMFEST. To come to America Fest. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.